Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, everyone. This is Nerd Nuptial, episode 8. And today we're going to be talking about Batman versus Superman.
That's right. And I think you are going to have a good time. I think we're both going to have a good time because you and I have not talked about Batman versus Superman before this, correct?
Correct. We had a very awkward car ride home. And then we figured out, because our bodies were screaming at us, that we had to eat. And so we are like, what? Is it been like 2 hours after we saw the movie now?
Barely.
Yeah. So we just like couldn't get home fast enough to record. But then we had to eat. We were frustrated that we had to eat.
Now, we're recording this on Saturday, and that's when we saw it. We just saw it in the theater, at the theater down the street from our house. And it was, this is opening weekend.
Yeah.
And so this is fresh. This is fresh to the nation.
Yeah.
Fresh to the world. Fresh to the Riddell household, and now fresh to our listeners' ears.
And we don't usually go to the theater that often on opening weekend.
No, we really, really don't.
Because it takes a lot. It basically takes a Batman movie to get us into theaters.
But we had a good audience, though.
We did.
And that's the main reason why I don't like going to the theaters, because of the audience. But no one used their cell phone. Well, one person used it once, like at the beginning, but then that was it. Nobody talked. I think there was only some whispering here and there. Great audience.
That's right.
Comparatively. Yeah. But before we get into that, we have some 5-star reviews to talk
about. Yeah, we do.
And as always, we thank you guys so much for the time that you spend to write us a review and to email us and to talk with me on Twitter. Tell us that you like the show. It really means a lot to us, and it shows us that we're doing something right and we're doing something that you like. And, you know, as always, if you write us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the podcast. And please, if you haven't done it yet, take the time. It just takes a second. You can do it straight from your phone, from the podcast app, or you can go onto your computer and do it. And if you've done it outside of the US in the iTunes store, please send us an email at contact@thenerdparty.com, and then we'll mention you on the show that way. But we have a couple people to talk about, and those people are Laterta, I think is how you say it, L-T-I-R-T-A. Very, very great things said in that. Thank you very much, because passion is one of my favorite words, and that's what this person mentioned. And we also have BKara52. You know, he loves our conversations, and so thank you very much, BKara52. And there's one review in particular that, I mean, all of our 5-star reviews are fantastic and well written, but this one in particular, I want to share a little bit. This is by Herdball12, and it was really cool to hear this person speak, because he talked about his relationship with his wife, about how I think they went to a Christian university.
Yeah.
And they used to watch movies on their laptop in their car.
It was awesome. Yeah.
And he studied film just like me. And, you know, like, they love nerd stuff. And it was just really cool.
It made us happy to read. It was just so fun to read that there's people out there like us. And it was just nice to hear that feedback. It was so cool.
It was so cool, because very rarely have we seen or heard of people who have a relationship like ours. Now, I'm not saying ours is better than other people.
No. Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, you and I are obsessed with each other, and we have a unique past. And it's just kind of fun to hear those other experiences talked about. And it's kind of like when I came onto the online community as a Star Trek fan, you start finding out that you have all these shared experiences, where when you thought you were alone in what you did and how nerdy you were, and then you go online, you're like, oh my God, everybody did this. You know, this is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what that kind of reminded me of. That's what it felt like.
Very cool.
So thank you very much for your 5-star review. And please take the time and write us a review, and we'll mention you on the podcast. And, you know, we're going to tease you even a little bit more before we talk about Batman versus Superman, because we are going to give you our Audible recommendation of the week.
And I got to choose it this week.
That's right. Before
we usually choose them together, but this one is one of my favorites.
That's right. Yes, we normally do that. But I mean, you were just like, no, Tristan, I don't care what you're going to I don't care what you want. I don't care what you're going to think. This is what we're doing. But before we give that recommendation, how you can listen to our future recommendation is by going to audibletrial.com/nerdnuptial. Again, that's audibletrial.com/nerdnuptial. We are partners with Audible. They have one of the best resources for audiobooks anywhere, bar none, over 180,000 titles. And if you use that link, if you go to that link as one of our listeners, you get a free book of your choice and 30-day free trial. I mean, that's a lot of trial right there. And you can listen to it on your iPhone, on your Kindle, wherever, and just have a great time. But what's the Audible recommendation this week?
It is Gone Girl.
Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn. That's right. And I hate saying Gillian Flynn.
because you feel like you should be saying Jillian.
I should be saying Jillian. And then like people, when I say that around others, they're like, don't you mean Jillian? I'm like, no, sadly, no, I mean Killian.
Yeah, I love this book. I love the audiobook of it because they use two different narrators. Every other chapter is like female, male. It's, you know, Nick Dunn, Amy Dunn. We love the David Fincher movie. And so it kind of ties a little bit to our topic today because of Ben Affleck. And he was in the movie version of Gone Girl. But I love the audiobook version of it. And it gives you a little bit more details that the movie doesn't have.
Yes.
So it's kind of fun. If you like the movie, then you should definitely check out the audiobook version. It was one of my favorite audiobooks that we've done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do these Audible recommendations is because there's so many, obviously there's fantastic books out there.
Yeah.
And there's fantastic audiobooks, but you don't always get a fantastic audiobook for a fantastic book or vice versa.
Right.
And with Gone Girl, you're going to get both.
Yeah.
And the female voice actor, the male voice actor, they both do such an amazing job. You get very engrossed in the story.
And it's kind of fun to hear different narrators too, because it kind of breaks it up. Mm-hmm. Just the style of the book anyway kind of breaks up the story, because it's every other chapter Nick or Amy. And so with the audiobook version, you're hearing two different authors and two different readers. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, very much so. So go to audibletrial.com/nerdnuptial and maybe choose Gone Girl as your first one, as your free one.
That's right.
Get it free.
Yeah.
And have your books read to you. All right. Well, I think that's enough gilding the lily. And speaking of Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
We should probably talk about Batman versus Superman. Now, before we give our opinions, before we discuss it, I think we need to frame things just a little bit. So critics were able to see it, I think, around Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay.
Somewhere around in there. And then they had an early showing, or an early release on Thursday, and then a wide release on Friday, and we saw it on Saturday. You know, the critic, like, right off the bat, it was divided on the critics. It was just like, wow, the critics are not liking this. You know, I think it was like when it first came out, it was like 50-50. Then down to 40. As of today, on RottenTomatoes.com, Batman vs. Superman is at 30%.
Really? I did not know that until this moment. Really?
30%.
And wow.
Like when I went online Friday, I tried muting as much as I could. I tried muting Batman vs. Superman, Bruce Wayne, you know, Zack Snyder. I started muting all of these words so nothing came up. I actually ended up muting some of my friends where, like, they actually chimed in. They're like, dude, just mute me today. Just mute me today and then talk to me on Saturday.
Sure.
And, but right off the bat, I saw zero positivity.
Really?
About this movie. Zero positivity when I logged on. I was just like, oh, man.
So I'm sure that influenced your perception going into the movie then a little bit.
It did because, you know, when the first trailer came out, I was like, oh, cool. You know, that this could be good. You know, that hopefully this is better than Man of Steel. And then the second trailer came out and I was like, ooh,
yeah.
Maybe this is going to be a bad film. And then they redeemed themselves with the third trailer. But, you know, it's
damage done.
Yeah, exactly. Damage done. You know, glass is cracked. You can't fix it. And so I went into it thinking like, okay, you know, like, even if I'm mildly entertained, this will be a good movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm just going to go in and at least I'm getting some Batman on screen.
Yeah. I think that's kind of how I went into it, because I was not really about the trailers that I've seen, even like the first and the last, like all throughout. I was just kind of like lukewarm about the whole idea. So I kind of felt like I was open to whatever happened. I was open to it.
Yeah. It's just, and then when I read all these negative reviews, not just from critics, because sometimes, you know, critics can go screw themselves. You know, like,
yeah.
We love tons of movies that have really low ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. But when I saw my friends, you know, like people whose opinion I respect,
right,
saying, wow, this is a horrible movie, horrible third act, blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay, I got to sign off. I got to sign off because I don't want to get tainted.
Sure.
But yeah, it kind of changed my perspective where I was going in expecting, I wasn't expecting crap, but I was expecting like lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if this is more than lukewarm, mission accomplished. And so maybe that kind of helped me enjoy it because I'll be honest with you, I loved it.
Did you really?
I did.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, tell me what you loved about it.
I gotta know. What did you think?
I did not think it was a good movie.
Oh. I thought, oh my God. Okay, so when we left the theater, you seemed like you were in a good mood.
I think that it was the structure of the film I hated.
Okay.
I feel like the entire time I kept thinking, I wish that they had like a standalone Batman film with Ben Affleck so that it would kind of tease this whole idea.
Okay.
Because I felt like the entire time they were like making up for lost time that they'd never really established.
Hmm. That's interesting. That would have been cool. That would like having a standalone Batman film. I think that would have been cool because you'd have Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Then you have
Tease of Superman at the end of this like standalone Batman film. And then you have this Dawn of Justice.
Where you could just call it Dawn of Justice.
Right. So that it's more of I kind of feel like we took a really long time to get to the super fight between the two of them.
Well, yeah, the super fight was in the third act, yeah.
And then tell me what you liked about.
Okay. So, I didn't think I was going to like this much.
Okay.
I didn't. Really didn't. Okay. Because when I walked into it, I was like, okay, I'm not going to be a DC fanboy.
Okay.
Because, you know, Man of Steel was very tepid to me. You know, like if I was just a random DC fanboy, then I would have said, oh, Man of Steel is the best movie ever. Well, and if you like Man of Steel, that's no diss to you.
We loved like the cool scenes at the beginning of Man of Steel where it was all about like
Krypton,
and we thought that was we even talked about that back when it happened, that it'd be cool just to have like a standalone movie with
Russell Crowe. I've been screaming for that for
years.
Yeah,
I think it was just so that because I loved that world that was so tactile and different, mm-hmm. and just like I'd never seen any alien planet look like that before.
There is a TV show in development.
Oh, really?
About Krypton.
Oh,
but I think it's going to be like well before Jor-El and Kal-El and everything like that. And so I have no idea what continuity is going to be based off of. So I have no idea if it's going to be like the DC cinematic universe or if it's.
I wonder if a TV show can have the money to actually do this kind of special effects that were really cool.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, but okay. we'll find out. We'll see.
Okay. So.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I distracted you. Sorry.
You totally distracted me, but you distract me all the time. That's okay. You're a lovely distraction.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I went into it I was like, I'm not a DC fanboy, so if this is a horrible movie, you know, that's okay. You know, hopefully
you'll get some Batman.
I'll get some Batman, and maybe that'll tease greater things later on. You know, like maybe we'll get a standalone Batman film with Ben Affleck, and maybe the Flash movie and the Wonder Woman movie. Maybe that'll all be like, if this is just establishes that universe even more than Man of Steel, even if it sucks, there's still hope. You know, there's still hope in the future. I kind of feel like that's what being a DC fan is all about, is that there's always hope around the corner.
Hope of Batman around the corner.
Hope of Batman around the corner. But when I caught myself during the opening credits when they were doing Batman's backstory, you know, about the pearls you know, and everything like that.
Oh, did you notice that Maggie, Lauren Cohen?
Yeah, from Walking Dead
was Martha Wayne.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, immediately. I actually almost said it out loud to you, and then I was like, oh crap, I'm in theater, I'm not at home.
And she didn't have any speaking lines, and she was like, there was really only like maybe two shots of her face.
I know.
So that's a weird role for her. And the guy who played the comedian,
he was
in from Watchmen.
He was the dad. Yeah.
And also, he's gonna play Negan in The Walking Dead.
So it's all connected.
The Walking Dead, it's the universe.
That's right.
where it's that nightmare universe that Batman had, you know, where in the apocalypse. Speaking of which, we're gonna try to keep it.
We're gonna spoil it.
Sorry,
come on,
guys.
Like, let's not try to kid ourselves.
Okay. All right. So we won't try to keep it spoiler-free.
Yeah. So don't listen to this if you...
Yeah. Watch the movie, then listen to this.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So
you distracted me again.
I know. I keep doing that. Okay. So they established this. The backstory for Bruce Wayne.
Yes, yes. And I caught myself going...
Why are we doing this?
No? I caught myself saying, like, okay, this is going to be good. This is, like, I kept telling myself, this is going to be
Did
good.
Did you
this
like the good. Bats raising him up?
That
I understand that was a dream. Okay, I get it.
Yes.
But I did not like it.
No, I didn't like it either, because the main reason why I didn't like it is because I didn't know it was a dream at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happened, I just kind of raised my hands in the air, and I was like... What are we doing here?
Right.
What's going on, Snyder? Are we going to have like an altered reality, like a hyper reality?
Where there's like super, I mean, I guess there is super powers going on, but not with Batman.
Yeah, not with Batman. And so, yeah, that did bother me. And then I was screaming in my head. I was like, say it's a dream, say it's a dream, say it's a dream. And then we heard Ben Affleck's voice and he says, the dream is always the same or something like that.
Right.
I was like, okay, that's all right.
Yeah.
We're okay. But what did you not like? What did you not like about it? I mean, besides the bats raising him up, what you didn't like the origin story?
I mean, I guess they did a good job with condensing it, because they did they just basically did the bare bones of what everyone mm-hmm. should know. But I just kind of felt like, again, trying to get to where we needed to go, I felt like all of that could have been done in another movie.
Really?
Yeah.
It was so short, though.
I know,
it was 5 minutes, not even.
I guess the moment that kind of killed it for me was like the dream of him like raising up. I was like,
that turned
me off to it like immediately. I was like, ooh, no.
Yeah.
But
the very next scene was a heart stopper. That was a good scene where we see Bruce Wayne driving downtown Metropolis.
Yeah, that was cool.
Trying to get to the financial building. I was like, wow, that's a hook. This was intense. This is cool. And I love it because Bruce Wayne runs towards the danger.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
He runs towards the falling buildings.
Yeah. And we had known that that was going to happen because mm-hmm. of the trailer, but to see it happen was pretty neat. I liked that part.
Yeah, seeing it all together and him, you know, driving around mm-hmm. and like trying to avoid the falling debris.
Right.
I just thought it was very well done.
And the callbacks to Man of Steel was very cool.
Somebody actually, because they showed that footage in the trailer about the laser beams going through the building. You know, where Zod and Zod's laser beams going through the building. Somebody took video from Man of Steel and put it side by side with the trailer footage from Batman versus Superman. And the laser eyes, the angle that they go out and the speed that they go at completely match up.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I thought that was, wow, what an attention to detail.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Once I saw that scene.
Yeah.
And I saw how well the action scenes went, I was like, okay. Well, at least I get some cool action scenes if the dialogue sucks, if the story sucks, at least I can get something, at least Zack Snyder can give me something cool to look at, which sounds very Michael Bay-ish.
It does.
And I feel dirty saying that out loud, but that's where I was at.
I gotcha. Yeah. I actually liked Superman and Lois Lane more in this film than I did in Man of Steel.
I loved Superman Lois sexy time.
Yeah, the bath scene. That was pretty,
Yeah, that was that. I was happy. I was like, thankfully, Superman's getting some. Maybe it'll help calm him down.
That's right.
Yeah, because, you know, they kind of shy away from that stuff. I mean,
they do.
I mean, I guess we did see.
I liked the fact that he walked into her place. I mm-hmm. liked to see them together.
They are together.
Yeah, I liked that.
Yes.
I liked that a lot.
Because in the previous movies and in the comic books, it's always... On again, off again.
Yeah,
where they are, won't they?
Right.
Obviously, there was long times where they were together. I mean, they were married in the comics, but there's so many different variations.
Sure.
But I'm glad that they chose this route.
I liked it.
Where they're together, for better or for worse, they love each other, and you really felt that they loved each other.
Yeah, I really liked their dynamic a mm-hmm. lot more, which makes me laugh, because the entire time I was like, I actually like Superman a lot more here than mm-hmm. in Man of Steel.
Yeah, it's true. It kind of makes me want to go back and rewatch Man
of
Steel.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
We might need to do that tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm a huge Amy Adams fan.
Oh, yeah.
She can do no wrong.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I think she's so great. And
I like how subtle she is with Lois Lane. Mm-hmm. She's not over the top, and I think that could easily happen, that damsel in distress. Yeah. Yeah, seriously. That damsel in distress syndrome, I think, could really overtake Lois Lane's character, but I think that she does a pretty good job of being even keel.
You know, I was wondering about that because it made me, when Superman kept rescuing Lois, I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah,
Superman rescues Lois.
That's the dynamic.
That's the dynamic. And that's just how it is. And it got me thinking back to a review somebody wrote about Batman Arkham Knight, the video game, you know?
Okay,
that
yeah.
I love. And
yeah.
I'm
obsessed
with.
I like to watch.
That you like to watch, yeah. Somebody wrote a review saying that this book, this video game was anti-feminist. Because he kept having, he had to rescue Catwoman, he had to rescue, you know, Poison Ivy, and then I was like, wait, so they only played like the first 10 minutes of the game, because in the game, Catwoman saves Batman's butt several times.
Don't you play as Catwoman?
There are certain times where you play as Catwoman, and she saves Batman from certain death, and Poison Ivy sacrifices herself to save the city and Batman.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
It made me think like, okay, we're in a very hypersensitive culture. Both you and I are feminists. And so, you know, we think about these things. And so I was watching for this.
Okay.
All throughout the movie, I was like, okay, are we just going to have the damsel in distress syndrome? Or is, you know, what's going to happen? But the moment that Lois saw Superman in the opening scene in Africa.
Yeah.
And she saw him and she went, okay. And then she relaxed herself and she put her hands down, and because she knew Superman was going to take care of it.
Right.
I feel like if we had your stereotypical damsel in distress, she would be, you know, trying to fight back and punching her fist and screaming and everything like that. But she had she was cool and collected journalist.
Right. Even like, I mean, to kind of spoil the ending part, but when she goes after the kryptonite spear, I thought also that's not just like a damsel in distress. A damsel in distress wouldn't go after that.
She's being proactive.
She's being proactive. She's doing her best, even though she's mortal. She can't do much, but she's doing everything possible.
Right. Yeah. Right. And she also lit Superman, like by being in that water, she's letting Superman know where the spear is, not just come and rescue me. It's down here.
Right. And also I think that sometimes when you have that kind of character, that is the damsel in distress or like the love interest, they almost put them in these like supernatural situations where they're able to sometimes do more than they actually could. Mm-hmm. Whereas I liked how Lois Lane was trying to figure out this stuff as a reporter, doing her job, going to Washington, and not, I mean, when called upon, the one thing that she did was she tried to figure out where the spear was and tried to like help.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like she was, you know, kicking butt. I mean, Lois Lane can't kick butt.
Right. Oh,
like
so true.
So I appreciated that.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, so Amy Adams did a great job.
You know what, the moment that I really appreciated, okay, again to spoil the ending, but when Wonder Woman was the one who carried Superman's body down, Bruce lowered Superman's body through the cape, and then Wonder Woman was the one who grabbed the body. Lois Lane did not grab the body,
right?
Because Wonder Woman is on Amazon. She can take care of that body and put it on the ground.
Right, right.
And that was just like a good indication there of like, here's what Lois Lane can do. Here's what Wonder Woman can do. There's a separation there. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Not everybody has to be Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Not everybody has to be Lois Lane.
Right.
But know the characters and play to their strengths.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So we talked about now Superman.
All right. Yeah.
So this one. This movie's called Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Batman's name is first.
Yeah.
We got a lot of Batman.
A lot of Batman.
How'd you feel about that? How'd you feel about the separation?
I felt like at a certain point, I felt a little bit bad for Superman. Well, I mean, he got the crap kicked out of him. And I was glad that he was obviously the one to like kind of save the day in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was kind of like the redeeming factor there. But I think that the balance was pretty good. I really do.
I feel like the first half of the movie was very Batman, Bruce Wayne heavy.
Yeah.
But then we started getting more and more Clark and Superman towards the end.
But if you're not going to have a standalone Batman movie, you have to have it somewhat weighted because you don't have the equivalent of Man of Steel for him in this franchise, this new franchise.
And there's a rumor that the execs at Warner Brothers were so impressed with Ben Affleck's Bruce Wayne and Batman that they said put more Batman footage in.
Really?
Yeah, that's just a rumor. Okay. But I thought that was interesting because they like they loved it so much that they wanted to see more of Ben Affleck.
How did you feel about Ben Affleck?
I've said on this show and on several other shows that I was the first in line to scream on social media and in my dark room on the internet, like that's what people do, to say no when Ben Affleck was announced as Batman. I was just like, this is a horrible decision. Ben Affleck can't act. He's a great director, but he can't act. This is going to be a horrible, horrible, horrible Batman. And as time went on, I started getting used to the idea. I started not hating the idea. And then Gone Girl came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay. Ben can do a pretty good job. Because I think that's probably some of the best stuff that he's ever done acting-wise since Good Will Hunting. So once I saw that, and then I saw him start to bulk up at like the third act of Gone Girl, because that's when he got the Batman job, I was just kind of like, okay, all right, he's got the chin for it. Maybe this won't be so bad. And then when I started seeing footage of him and we got that fight scene in the third trailer, I was like, okay, I'm on board. And I have to say, I was impressed. I mean, Christian Bale is Christian Bale.
I like Christian Bale more.
And so do I.
Right.
But I feel like we have enough separation between this Snyderverse and the Nolanverse that it's okay to have this older, gruffer, bigger Batman.
I liked that idea of him being older,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, more established. And, you know, I always liked the part about Batman that he's not really attached to anyone. Like, let that be Superman's deal. Like, with Lois Lane, I like the fact that he's just kind of his own person, and I kind of got that a lot more in this version with Ben Affleck. I can't say that I'm 100% sold with him still.
What did you not like about Ben Affleck as Batman?
It might just be the fact that he's Ben Affleck and it's hard to like for me to get away from that. But I think that like the parts that I liked him the most in was when he was being actual Batman versus Bruce Wayne. I think I liked him more as Batman instead of Bruce Wayne. I know that sounds weird, but...
No, that doesn't sound weird. I mean, like, I feel like whoever plays Batman gets judged by how they play Bruce Wayne and how they play Batman.
Yeah.
Like, you have two different roles
in
the same movie. And I was looking for that, and I don't know, I liked how Ben Affleck was able to slip in and out of Bruce Wayne character, because... Speaking of, there's two characters. There's actually three characters, because there's the real Bruce Wayne and there's the public Bruce Wayne.
That's true.
And in Christopher Nolan's movies, it was very obvious, you know, the Bruce Wayne that was presented to the world, you know, like the womanizer, the drinker, the partier and everything like that. And with Ben Affleck, I like that he was able to go in and out of that. Like whenever somebody was around, he was just like, He was the playboy, and whenever he nobody was around or having a serious conversation, we're like, oh, this is the real Bruce Wayne. I just thought he did that effortlessly.
Okay. You might be changing my mind a little bit on that, because I didn't think of it that way, of the three different people,
mm-hmm.
the trinity of which is Batman. But I don't know. I did get used to him more as the movie went on.
Okay.
I really did. But I'm just not 100% sold. I guess I just, Christian Bale is my Batman. And
yeah. Well, I mean, for the longest time, Michael Keaton was my Batman.
That's true.
But then, you know, Dark Knight came around.
And then you're like, okay.
Holy crap.
Yeah. No, he did a better job than I was anticipating.
Yeah.
But.
And I have to admit, I really like his fighting style too.
Like, oh, much more like, gruff, it felt like.
Yes, it felt much
okay.
more.
Okay, we're gonna differ on this. Here we go. Okay. I know that even certain scenes of this were was like a dream sequence and stuff like that.
Yes.
But when he was like shooting people and branding people, I'm just like, that's not Batman.
That was the dream sequence though, where he was shooting people.
I know when he was shooting people, because I didn't realize, like I realized it once there was flies coming down from the sky, but I did not realize it until then. I was like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And then like when Batman's shooting people, I'm like, no, Batman does not do that. And then like with the branding, That is not. And we even talked about this before, but my Batman does not brand people. And no. It's weird. And I feel like it's out of character for Batman.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this and I'm with you on that one. I think the branding could have easily been taken out. And yeah, I did not like the branding. And I like that Alfred brought it up, but Alfred should have made it a bigger point than it was.
Yeah.
I think that would have made me okay with it, at least a little bit more, if Alfred gave him hell about it.
Yeah.
Where he actually said, like, this isn't you.
But you know, I don't feel like, here's something that was kind of odd to me, was I felt like Alfred wasn't quite old enough to scold. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just slightly more peppered gray than,
it's true, yeah.
Than Batman. And I did like the fact that he was, like, you know, working on the mask and, like, you know, the mechanics of stuff. I liked that part of Alfred. I was like, that's kind of cool. He's more of, like, the behind the scenes, almost Q.
Yeah.
He was, like, Batman's Q version for, you know, James Bond, whatever. I kind of felt like there should have been more of that respect for Alfred that usually is played more.
Yeah.
Where you know, that father figure, I did not get the father figure in this version.
Well, the dynamic between, we did not really explore the dynamic between Alfred and Bruce very much at all.
No.
I thought we were going to explore a lot more.
Yeah.
And we didn't, but like you said, maybe that's one of those victims of why didn't we get a Batman standalone?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it kind of felt like the age difference wasn't wide as wide as it should have been.
Yeah.
But
I liked him, you know, tinkering. I liked him helping, not just like, you know, serving tea.
Yes. And in the comics, you know, like he plays a medic.
Yeah.
You know, like he'll help him out with technology. He'll run the computer.
Right.
You know, and so we saw that a little bit in The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises and everything like that, where Alfred helped him out.
Yeah.
But this one was much more hands-on.
Yeah, and I liked that.
Yeah, I liked it too. Here, okay, now he either helped build or built the Batman Iron Man suit.
Okay, yes.
Did you think that was a weird transition that we didn't see him putting on the suit?
Yeah.
It was weird because, like, we saw Alfred work on it, like, 30 minutes before, but it was just the helmet.
They did reference, like, I need that suit ready. But
yeah.
It was kind of, you kind of want that suit up montage a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Any kind of Batman movie, you kind of want that. I don't know.
But it's just like, and then like
to
him.
Hi.
There wasn't any reveal. We just cut to him and he's in the suit now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that was weird.
It was a little strange.
Yeah, I felt like we needed more buildup of that, or like we needed more exploratory stuff with the suit. But I mean, that's fine.
Yeah,
it didn't make or break it for me.
No.
And Jeremy Irons as Alfred, I think that's a great casting choice.
Oh yeah, I liked him a lot. I just again think that the age difference is not enough.
Yeah, I think you're right, but it's when you have someone as phenomenal as Michael Caine.
Yeah,
you have to find someone who has that kind of gravitas, that's hard to do.
It is. There's only a few people out there that probably could do it.
Yeah, and I think Jeremy Irons is definitely one of them. But yeah, if they made him just a little bit grayer,
right?
Whiter, you know, like I think it would have worked a little bit better. All right, so one thing that I heard on social media before I muted everybody was that they did not like the introduction of Wonder Woman. They didn't like the introduction of the other characters.
So like Aquaman and
Flash, Aquaman, Cyborg.
Okay.
How did you feel about the introduction of Wonder Woman?
I was okay with it. I kind of liked her, you know, choosing to go back, like when she was on the plane. Well, I mean, the first introduction, I think we probably could have had a little bit more of a reveal that she was Wonder Woman, but I loved the old picture of her.
The 1918
Belgian
photo with
that.
Chris Pine.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, is that Chris Pine?
That's right. Yeah, I loved that reveal. Mm-hmm. But I feel like almost that could have been the reveal. And then you meet her a little bit later instead of meeting her and then, I don't know.
Would it have been impactful?
Maybe
if
not.
If you saw the photo and
maybe,
then met her?
Maybe you're right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right.
I thought it was okay. Like, it wasn't monumental.
No.
You know, it wasn't epic, her introduction. But it did prove that she's not just strong arms. that she can think, that she can...
That's true.
That she can
steal.
She
can kind of be more like a spy.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Which is... I liked that part of it.
And Bruce Wayne's equal.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
In that realm of sneakiness.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that. And I appreciated that kind of introduction.
And I really liked when she joined the fight, that she was holding her own just fine. In fact, I think that she probably did a little bit better than Bruce Wayne in that moment.
Oh, yeah. Bruce was on the sidelines.
Yeah, he was like trying not to get hurt almost.
Well, it was kind of funny because even Batman knows his limitations. Where he's like, yeah, I'm staying out of this one.
Right?
And he chose his moment.
Yeah.
And shot the kryptonite dust or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, that's all. He's like, all right.
I thought it was pretty cool. I thought that her fighting was pretty awesome.
And that entry music,
yeah.
That Wonder Woman theme that we got.
Yes.
I nerded out hard in that moment. I lost my little mind when she, you know, like did the ching ching, you know, like with her bracelets and and then her shield, and then then they brought out her lasso of truth. Oh, holy crap!
Yeah,
you know,
like that was cool. And she was like lassoing that whole
Doomsday,
whatever it was, and I liked that. I liked it a lot that she was able to hold her own just fine. Not that she was able to defeat him on her own,
right.
But that she was holding her own just fine and kind of like earned her place in the Justice League.
Yeah.
Sort of deal.
Yeah. And she did some damage. Like she like chopped his thigh, chopped off his arm.
The other reveals of like, you know, the Flash and Aquaman and
Cyborg.
I thought they were fine for, you don't want to give too much because it's like, you don't want to there's too much being handled if we give any more.
I was fine with how they did it, but I think even less would have been good.
Yeah, because I feel like her clicking on like files, that was a little lame.
Well, yeah, when that happened, I was like, why are we doing this? Why are we watching her do this? Oh, it's so we can set up for future films.
Right.
And it took me out of it.
Yeah.
But when Bruce did it and we just saw the symbols...
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. You know, that's
right.
That's Cyborg. That's
I
Wonder
kind
Woman.
Of think that they could have left it at that. And then, like, the fanboys could have just, like, geeked out about it.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely
I don't
agree.
Think we need to see any of them.
No.
That was my opinion.
I think you're right. I think you're right on that one. I think that one was very much, like, more movies are coming.
Yeah.
So, Lex Luthor. Jesse Eisenberg.
I don't even know what to feel about him. Because I liked him in certain moments and I didn't like him in other moments.
I was the same. Yeah.
Because there are certain points I was like, he's cool and creepy and weird and a little off.
Yeah, like when he put the Jolly Rancher in the
dude's mouth. Yeah, I was like, okay.
It's like, weird.
Yeah, but then like when he was, you know, trying to do an accent with the senator, I was like, little weird. I don't know. And I kind of liked to a certain point, I liked his awkward speech to his guests, but then it kind of went a little long.
Yeah.
And I was like, no one would be here if he really spoke that way.
Well, okay.
Even though he's got lots of money and power.
I'm with you on that one because I had a love-hate relationship with Lex Luthor because I was just like, there were times when I was like, oh, he's cool and creepy. And other times when I'm like, this is just off-putting. But what I really liked about it is in the comics, in a lot of the comics, Lex Luthor... Lex Luthor is a genius. He's the smartest man on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very suave. He's very buff.
That's how I've always pictured him.
That's how he is in the comics. But the thing is, though, is that I feel like you cannot be suave and normal and that smart at the same time.
So this is more of a realistic interpretation of Lex Luthor?
I think so, because if you have someone who is beyond human intelligence... And is bent on, I don't know what it is, whether it's world domination or, you know, whatever Luthor's into.
Right.
I feel like you have to be a little messed up and very eccentric and very
socially awkward.
Socially awkward, somewhat on the spectrum, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, to like, I feel like that's the price for pure genius. I mean, there's so many people in our history
that have
changed our history because of their genius, but they've had a horrible... social life, or they've had a horrible life and everything like that.
Right.
And so I always felt like Lex Luthor was,
little too suave for what he is.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. But
see, going in my preconceived ideas of Lex Luthor, I was having a little bit hard like time rationalizing the differences.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's where it came from. That like feeling for me was that I always thought of him as this like really big, tall, bald man who was super smart.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I said, it was kind of like this love-hate relationship because I liked him in this movie sometimes. And then like the next scene, I'd be like, eh, didn't really do anything for me.
Yeah. Do you think they could have done less, Luther?
Yes. I was thinking that the whole time. I feel like he could have been a catalyst for certain things happening, like, you know, getting them to the point where they're fighting, or, you know, that's fine. But I feel like there was a little bit too much establishing, like with the senator scenes, I feel like there was a little bit too much of that storyline. Yeah, it was a little strange.
What do you think about the bombing? I didn't see it coming.
I didn't see it coming either, actually. Like, I jumped when the bomb went off because I knew something was going to happen because, you know, we saw the glass and we saw he wasn't there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I understand that it, like, was the turning point where everyone really hates Superman. It just felt a little weird.
Yeah, I was surprised that it's... I think the reason why I didn't see it coming is because I am still kind of questioning its purpose.
Yeah.
Where, like...
And those leading up scenes with the senator, I understand, like, trying to establish that, you know, I gave you this tool that you could have used, but you turned me down, and now I'm going to take revenge, blame it on Superman, that type of deal, but...
But what was the... I think that's what I'm confused on, is, like, what was the turning point there? You know, like... Like, yeah, she denied the kryptonite entry into the States, but, you know, like, what was him going to the press or to whomever saying, like, oh, they turned me down? How is that going to hurt her? How is that going to hurt anybody? And why did she feel so utterly threatened in that moment? Like, when she saw the jar, didn't see him there. Like,
yeah.
She was stumbling so hard that she, it's almost like she saw it coming.
Right.
But why would she have seen that coming?
She wouldn't. She might have been like a little like, it's kind of like the Joker moment where the judge and the Joker card, like in the file in The Dark Knight, and then you move on. Kind of like, oh, that's weird. And then move on.
Yes. That's immediately what I thought of too.
But she was just like, you know, sweating up there. And I felt it was odd.
It was very odd.
It was like a little too much anticipation for what was about to happen.
Yeah, but I did like that moment where we're in the blaze, we're in the fire, and we see Superman just with his eyes closed. He just realized, he's like, oh, crap.
Yep. Yeah.
Obviously, it's Luther's bomb, and he exploded. He killed a bunch of people in the Capitol building. Was his reason for doing that just to make the world hate Superman even more?
I think so.
But it didn't really work because they were like, it was just a question of like, oh, was Superman involved? Was he not? Like,
well, I even kind of felt like it was a little strange for him to activate the spaceship. Like, I understand that he wanted to, you know, create this being that hated Superman, but it felt a little disjointed.
Oh, I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that. No, I didn't mind that at all.
But I felt like, okay, you did the bomb, and now you're doing this, and you've got the mom. It was like a lot of different plot points with Lex Luthor.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
There was like a lot going on with him because he had his hand in like almost all of the conflicts.
The thing is, though, is that Luthor is kind of like that.
Okay.
In the comics, where like he is thinking on a different level, and
he does have his hand in like different places. Okay.
He has his hand in everything. Like he moves pieces on a chessboard.
Okay.
And he's constantly thinking about 15 different scenarios of how things can go.
Because that for me, it was a little, I was having a little hard time dealing with that.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. I'm trying to think because it's a long movie.
It's a very long movie.
And I mean,
some of those things I feel like could have been. And I don't know. For me, I was kind of like, I realized at the point where Wonder Woman had not shown up yet that we had to have another big situation that we had to take care of. But I just kind of always feel like it has to be this weird otherworldly thing that we have to battle at the end of movies. And I was just kind of like, okay.
I knew that was going to be an issue for you because...
Here we go again.
Here's the thing, is that you love The Dark Knight.
Yes.
There are no monsters in The Dark Knight.
I know. And that actually, that's probably part of the reason why I didn't like this movie as much as you did. I did not hate this movie, by the way. I did not hate it. But
you don't think it's a good movie?
No.
No.
Because I like Batman in this grounded reality. And so when you add Superman immediately, I have aversions to it.
Yeah.
So I kind of like my superheroes a little separated in that way. Even though they're all DC, I still like Superman way more than the Marvel characters.
Yeah.
But in my mind, he doesn't compare to Batman and what is Gotham and all of the chaos that he can deal with there.
Well, what's really funny is that when you look at Batman comics, there's a distinct difference between each Batman comic. I mean, like, the straight Batman comic is different from The Dark Knight. And The Dark Knight is different from Detective Comics. And Detective Comics is different from Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like one of those where it just focuses on his detective skills and, you know, like average, not average people, but like, you know, villains like Scarecrow and Joker and everything like that.
Right.
I feel like you would like those comics. And
oh, yeah.
You've actually read some of those and liked them. But when you get to like Justice League territory and we have aliens and monsters.
Yeah, that's where I don't really like that.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that I probably will not enjoy the Justice League movie because I don't know. It just, I like them separated.
I know.
I like them grounded in somewhat of reality. I know it's a hyper reality, but I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. I really do. And I thought I was going to have more of a problem with this than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I saw Doomsday in the trailer, which I cannot believe they put Doomsday in the trailer. but when I saw him in the trailer, I was like, oh, the girl's not going to like that.
Yeah.
It's something that a lot of people are going to have to make peace with. Because we're going to get this for like the next 10 years.
I know. And I will still watch them. I'll be on board. But I think that's kind of where I'm at.
Speaking of the comics, there were so many comic book references in this. I mean, obviously, it's a comic book movie.
Sure.
But you could tell that Zack Snyder is a huge comic book guy because there were so many things like that just I was just like, holy crap, this is just like the death of Superman. This is just like Doomsday. This is just like The Dark Knight Returns. And like there's so many elements mashed together that I thought flowed really well. Like I think the moment when I lost my little nerd mind was when we saw Superman in space and he was gaunt and radioactive and he looked dead.
Yeah.
And then the sun, you know, brought him forth.
That's
I was like,
cool.
This is just like in The Dark Knight Returns. You know, just, like, I never thought that I would see that on screen.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That was
and,
pretty neat.
Yeah, and then, you know, like, you know, spoiler alert, you know, like in The Death of Superman, which is a 1992 comic, Doomsday, who is an ancient Kryptonian, who was built by the Kryptonians in the comic books, you know, finds Superman, and this is in the 1992 comic books, it's called The Death of Superman arc. Like Superman and Doomsday fight and they kill each other.
Wow. Okay.
And Lois is holding Superman and Superman dies in her arms.
Okay.
And I was just like,
I was really surprised that they actually went with that to the very end. I really kind of expected, I mean, I know we have that little, you know,
we had that Nolan-esque.
We had that, yeah, ending. That like, you know, the little dart like going
dirt
up.
Particles yeah. coming up, yeah.
But I was impressed. I was applauding at the end there where I was like, good, you went with it to the very end. Like, yes, you can have a little moment there where we have a glimmer of hope, but it was just cool to see them actually commit to that ending.
Yes, yes.
Because I don't feel like very many movies do.
I didn't see it coming. I mean, I didn't think that they were going to use the death of Superman this early.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was always a possibility later on.
Didn't they also have the Robin suit in his Batcave?
In the comic books, Batman has all of like some of his old costumes and some of the old Robin costumes hanging up. But in this version, they had a Joker graffitied version,
mm-hmm.
which I think is very macabre.
Yeah, it is.
To keep that up.
Keep that.
I feel like that he used that as a reminder saying never again. Because
right.
there were many times in the comic books where Batman said never again. Like after Robin died, he's like, I'm never going to do this again.
Okay.
Obviously, he goes back on his word. But
sure.
like a lot of people were thinking that we were going to get a flashback scene of Robin dying. And then people are like, oh, well, then we would need Jared Leto as Joker. And so those, you know, rumors started floating around. And Zack Snyder likes to put his son in his movies.
Oh, really?
And right now his son is around the age that would make a good Robin. So a lot of people were like, ooh, maybe, you know, like maybe little Snyder's going to be Robin. And I cannot wait to see that flashback or that story in the future.
Hmm.
You know, if we do. I
mean, yeah.
I hope we do.
The flashback that I did not like was, I didn't feel like we needed to have the dad come back.
I
you liked it?
I kind of liked it.
Maybe it's a boy and his dad.
I think it might be a boy and his dad thing. Okay, here's the thing. I love Kevin Costner.
So you were like, yay, it's Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I think that's probably why I'm biased, is because I'm a huge Kevin Costner fan.
I just didn't think it was necessary.
You're probably right. In fact, you are right. But.
And I even feel like that, like, that, you know, he exiled himself. I kind of felt like that was kind of unnecessary.
Yes.
I felt like he was right back. I mean.
Yeah, you're right. It was weird because
it was a little too.
He was gone
quick.
For a few days. Would have lost his job if this was real life.
Right?
And then he was in the Arctic, or wherever he was, in the mountains. But yet we only got one scene of him in the mountains.
Yeah.
And we don't know why he was there, and we don't realize if
he
learned anything.
And his dad was like,
okay. So yeah, I think that easily could have been cut.
Mm-hmm.
But I only would have been okay with it if they cut everything of that, and not just Pa Kent. Because I was raised on Kevin Costner, I love Kevin Costner, and I like the story that he told.
No, I liked the story, but I was just like, do we need to be doing this? Probably not.
I was like, why waste our time in the mountains or in the Arctic or wherever he is if we're not going to get the Fortress of Solitude?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I kind of was coming from. I was like, oh, is this going to happen? Are we going to get the Fortress of Solitude?
But then they did not do that.
Then they didn't do that.
Okay, so you are probably going to disagree with me on this one. I did not like the turning point of the fight. Where it was all about Martha.
Oh, worst part of the movie.
It was horrible.
No.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you agree with me on that one.
No, that was,
I would
that was the worst part of the movie.
A little respect for you.
Well, it's good to know where we stand. No, that's what I wanted to talk to you about is because...
I hated that.
Bruce...
Hated it.
Turns on a dime.
I was like, oh, now we're buddies and he's going to go rescue his mom? Are you kidding me?
And he's making him promises?
Yeah. Like,
and he says,
like,
I'm a friend of your son's?
Are you kidding me? Like, what... What? You just, like, or have the spear ready to kill him. He's dying. And now, like, now we're good? We're fine. Okay, cool.
That needed way more explanation.
It was horrible.
That needed
horrible.
Way, like, we have a two and a half hour movie, and it had more false endings than Return of the King. And you're telling
you.
Me
you, yes.
We couldn't have
yes.
15 more seconds of Bruce and maybe even Lois? You know, where like...
Some type of establishing? Like, it was just like,
some
Martha.
Conversation.
You
yeah.
know, like, oh, Martha. Yeah, okay. Now
like,
we're
that's
good.
That's my mom's name.
Now we're good.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Like, we have that in
now
common.
I'm gonna go rescue your mom. Awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Really? That was horrible. That was horrible.
That was pretty bad. It was... I was pretty upset by that. I was just... I kind of threw my hands in the air. I was like, oh, we're done. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it needed... More. There needed to be more struggle.
Well, and we watched, you know, like the cartoon version of, like the comic book cartoon version of the fight between Superman and...
Of Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, the Dark Knight Returns.
And we have it on our bookshelf.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I just feel like there was much more, okay, they got to this point where now it was like either he dies or we work together. Not over something like that.
Well, the fight in The Dark Knight Returns was very different from this fight.
I
mean,
I understand
the motivation.
I know
it.
The motivation was different, but I liked that motivation way more than. Well, I guess I understood the motivation. It made sense for this movie, but the turning point. It was just, come on.
In The Dark Knight Returns, when Bruce grabs Superman's throat and says, "Clark." You
know, yeah.
Like, when you're alone in your most intimate moments, I want you to remember that I beat you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just thought that I was just like, I wanted a moment like that.
I did too. And I was expecting it because I had seen that
mm-hmm.
and read that. So I was just like, ah, it made me angry that that was the turning point.
Yeah. Lois comes in and says, oh, it's his mother. And then he's like, oh, you know, like in his head, he's like, oh, it's like we start seeing flashbacks to, you know, when his parents
mom.
Died and
yeah.
we all know he's an orphan. But he's like, oh, that's my mother's name, too. He must be a pretty good guy if he has a mom. But the thing is, like 15 minutes before he mentioned his parents, he says, you know, like he's like, your parents probably taught you this. My parents taught me something different. So
right.
the idea of him having parents is not new.
No, it's not. And I didn't like their use of like. Even like the, you know, having his mom, like, and then, I mean, I guess I didn't mind the fact that Bruce rescued his mom, but it just kind of felt like an added scene that we, again, did not really need.
I liked it.
You liked it?
I did, because I thought that was a badass fight scene. And
oh, like when he's going through the walls and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, when he was going through the walls.
Yeah, that part was pretty cool.
Yeah. Like,
but I just kind of felt like, all right, I want to get more to the action, because I felt like it took so long to get to that fight. And I kind of felt like that fight between Batman and Superman, like what you're waiting for, was pretty badass.
Yes.
But then I felt like it was kind of stilted by that horrible, horrible mother moment. And then I was kind of like, now I'm kind of let down, because it was so cool. And I had a lot of emotions. Like, I felt bad for Superman, but I also understood Bruce Wayne. And I was like, this is exactly how I'm supposed to be feeling this moment.
I felt that, like, when Superman started getting the crap kicked out of him,
yeah,
it hurt more than I thought it would.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, no, I don't like this. Like, yeah. Even though I'm a Batman fan, I'm just like, ooh.
But, you know, Superman's supposed to be strong and be able to take anything. And so for to see him like that, it was pretty cool. Like, you felt like, yeah, you felt something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just kind of felt like.
And why would he call his mom Martha?
I don't know.
What would that mean,
like,
to Bruce?
It wouldn't. And then, like, why
in Clark's
would,
mind?
And why would he be saying it? Like, I don't know. It seems very weird.
It was weird. And it's so weird because this is your turning point.
Yes.
This is your point of no return.
Yes.
In the movie.
Yes.
This is the clincher.
Yeah. The climax.
And they missed it.
Yeah. It was very
super strange. Although kidnapping Clark's mom and Lex's conversation with Superman on top of LexCorp,
that was cool.
I love that. Where I was just like, that's when I was like, Jesse Eisenberg is Lex.
Yes, Luthor. I was like, okay, this is the moment where he had me. And I really liked when, like, Superman got really angry and his eyes, you know, turned, and yeah, that was really cool.
Yes.
It felt a little Joker-esque to me.
A lot of people said that in the trailer, that when we got...
It felt a little Joker to
Lex
me.
Lex Luthor, it was kind of Joker-ish, yeah.
A few times throughout, I felt like it was a little Joker-ish. But it was a cool moment, so I was able to kind of excuse it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're of the same mind on that, where the turning point was wasted,
yeah,
and horrible and didn't make sense. But then we got that badass fight scene with Batman, and then we get to see Wonder Woman...
Yeah.
You know, kick butt with Doomsday. And we got to see Superman have one more I love you moment with Lois.
Yeah, I liked that.
And so I feel like it followed up. It made, I don't want to say it made up for the mistake, but it followed it by some pretty cool stuff.
It did. It did. I kept wanting, it's funny because I didn't expect this, but I kept wanting more action, especially the first half of the movie.
Mm.
And I think it's just because it took so long to get to the fight. And then by the time we were done with, like, the second fight against Doomsday, I was just kind of like, okay, this movie is probably about over, right?
yeah, it was. I feel like the denouement could have been a lot shorter.
Yeah.
And it was very disjointed.
It was.
Very cut up and kind of all over the place.
How about that casket, though?
That was a pretty cool casket.
That was a pretty awesome casket. I'm a little jealous of that casket.
I need to start putting money away. And maybe by the time I'm 90, I'll be able to afford one like that.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I need to start making my own symbol quick.
That's right.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I'll do that for you, baby. Don't worry.
Thank you very much. Because you were obviously going to live longer than I was. Yeah, I thought that was cool. And in the death of Superman in 1992, obviously Superman comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the comic books, he never really died. Where it was just his body was so damaged that he went into a coma.
Okay.
And it took him a long time to heal.
Yeah.
And then so he finally came out of it.
And I'm kind of gathering that that's probably what they're going to do.
I think so. I wonder how much time.
Yeah.
They'll make pass, though.
Yeah.
I think that'll be interesting because, you know, with, like, the dirt floating on his coffin was really just to give us a sign of hope. But that doesn't mean, like, he's going to jump out right then and there.
Right.
I wonder if Bats and Wonder Woman are going to establish the Justice League and then, boom, Superman appears.
Maybe.
I wonder if he's going to help start the Justice League or if he's going to,
join it later on. I think it kind of be cool if he joined it later on, actually.
I think so, too, in this universe, but I feel like a lot of fanboys would not like that because the Trinity that started Justice League is Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. Those are the three primary members. But we'll also see. Speaking of Justice League members, Cyborg, the origins of Cyborgs has always been painful. Like
I don't know anything about Cyborg.
He's a young man. He's a boy.
Okay.
And he's a football player.
Okay.
And his body was severely damaged. And I think in this latest iteration, his body was damaged by alien technology that his father was studying.
Okay.
But I have never seen his body that.
Yeah, because he was like a torso and that's about it.
Yeah, he was barely a torso.
Right.
And like when I saw him, I was just like, wait, is that a model of a person? Is that an android? Is that really Cyborg? And then, you know, like the alien technology started, you know, growing his body and everything like that. I was like, holy crap, it's alive. You know, it's just,
yeah,
it was weird.
It was a little freaky.
Yeah, it was very freaky. So I just want to say that it was freaky.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add to it.
I feel like with Aquaman, they lasted a little too long on him.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like, what's he going to do?
Yeah. You know? It's like, get a good look. And gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Flash, I don't like the look of that guy. I know nothing about that actor, so I can't judge him by his acting or anything like that. But just for some reason, he just doesn't look like the Flash in my brain. But I'm not saying he's not going to be a good Flash. It's just for some reason when I see him, I don't think Flash. I don't know.
Well, I hope that they don't do like a cheesy orange jumpsuit type dealio.
Speaking of which, okay, the Dream Within a Dream.
Okay.
What was that?
Was that
the Flash, but with like a mech suit on?
I don't know. It was very...
Really quite understand what they were saying.
I didn't like it.
I didn't know what was... I was so confused. And I was like, is it a dream? Is it a dream within a dream? Is this guy trying to say... Like, I feel like that person said like, oh, I came too early. You have to find us. You have to find us. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
So, okay, in the comic books... Like when you get later on, like when you get to Kingdom Come, when everybody's older and, you know, like Batman's in his 70s and everything like that, the Flash has grown so powerful that he's basically there on a different plane of existence. Like he can move in and out of planes and universes and things like that just because he can move so fast and his molecules can vibrate. And so that's what I thought of when I saw him and but he was in a mechanical suit. So I was like, is the Flash reaching into the past trying to communicate something to Batman?
But they weren't clear about it, so even if that was the case, it failed because we don't know.
It was so confusing. So,
yeah, that whole part kind of was like, in my mind, I almost like kind of removed it because it was so confusing to me.
The Nightmare Batman, that's what it's called, the Nightmare Batman.
Okay.
About the apocalypse. Like that Omega symbol, you notice the Omega
symbol?
Yeah, I did.
That's
the symbol of Darkseid. Which is a big baddie in the comic book universe. You've seen him. Blue dome head with red eyes and rock-like.
Yeah. I know you're talking about.
Yeah, you know who Darkseid is. That scene where Batman, his people are getting gunned down, and then he goes and he's actually shooting people. That was all one shot.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And when I was watching it, I was just like, oh, Batman's kicking ass. Oh, they're not cutting. They're not cutting. And I was thinking, too, I was like, oh, he's using guns. But I was
that's what I was thinking.
But I was like, it's the apocalypse. You know, like you know, everybody has to make compromises, you know, like cannibalism and whatnot. Yeah. So it was.
Like you do.
Like you do. So I was okay with it because it was the apocalypse because I knew it was a dream. But I just loved how they cut that together and the action and everything like that. So. Yeah. Well, we've been talking for a long time. We've been talking for over an hour. So overall thoughts, like one being Adam West dancing with the Joker.
Okay.
To 10 being the Dark Knight.
Okay.
Where would you put Batman versus Superman?
A 7 or 6.
Really?
Yeah.
You put it at a 7 or 6 because that's where I would put it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you like it more than me.
I know I do. That's why I'm confused, because if the Dark Knight is 10...
Well, then you take the 7, I'll take the 6.
Okay, I was going to give it like a 6.5, where like I feel like... Actually, you know, maybe... No, I'll give it a 7. Like, if I was Rotten Tomatoes, if I was that website, if I represented everyone, I would say 75%. That's what this movie deserves.
I would give it a 60%.
A 60%?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's fair, because if you look at Rotten Tomatoes and you look at the audience score, it's at 73%.
Okay.
So 73% of the audience
likes
it
more than the critics.
Way more than the critics.
Okay.
I truly feel that the critics are being punitive on this.
Okay.
So even if you don't think this is a good movie, like you, you still find value in it. It is by no means a 30% movie.
I don't think it's a 30% movie, but and here's the thing too, is I wasn't expecting anything crazy good, but I do feel like it was just kind of choppy for me.
I get
that.
And
it took a long time.
And you're right. It's very choppy. It took a long time.
Felt like 2.5 hours.
The structure was weird. The third act was kind of slow. I get that. And that's why I'm giving it a 70% or a 75% and not a 90-something percent.
Right.
Dark Knight is 100%.
And maybe part of it, the reason why you liked it more was because you've read more of the comics and you could maybe see some of those like throwbacks to, you know, kind of like fanboy throwbacks to the comics.
Yeah.
And, you know, you geeked out a little bit more during those moments. Whereas for me, I don't know. Like I said, again, I think it's a little hard for me to combine Superman and Batman in the same universe. And I know they're in the same universe, I understand, but I like my Batman grounded in reality. As much reality as it exists in the Batman realm.
I get it. I completely get it. I understand. And nothing that you said was wrong, you know, like
in my opinion.
I know. Yeah. You know what I mean. Like all of your criticisms are completely founded. And I think that like this is what I'm scared of, is that online I feel like this movie is gonna be the anti Dark Knight, where people, if you said that you didn't like The Dark Knight, people would attack you and say, you're an idiot, you're a fool, you don't have any taste. I feel like...
This is going to be like, if you like it, then you're going to be attacked?
Yeah, I really do feel that way.
Interesting.
Because it is, to borrow one of my co-host's favorite words, I feel like this reaction has been very vitriolic. You know, like this has been very venomous.
Do you think it's because of all the anticipation?
I think that's what it is. I feel like the reason why I chose the word punitive is because... I feel like Marvel has succeeded so well that it's clear that DC is playing catch up. Even I, as a DC fan, can admit that. They are playing catch up, and they had a misstep with Man of Steel. They had a big misstep here, obviously, from critic response, but they're still making money, and the audience liked it. And I want to remind people that after we got Iron Man, we got Incredible Hulk and Iron Man 2. So I just want to throw that out there.
That's true.
That we still have a ways to go.
Which I'm sure Marvel fans like ignore.
I'm sure they're ignoring that hardcore right now. And I appreciate what Marvel has done, but I feel like people are saying, oh, this Batman versus Superman isn't as good as the Avengers. So
that's not the event.
So
it's not even like the same type of movie.
No, I know that. I know that. But okay. I feel like people are comparing it to a Marvel movie, and because it didn't look like a Marvel movie, people are giving it a thumbs down. And
I'm glad it didn't, because I don't like Marvel.
Me too. But... And I'm sure people are disagreeing with me right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's so many people out there who are like, I'm gonna like this movie, and then no matter what happened on the screen, they're gonna like it. But I feel the reverse is true, too, where people go in saying, this movie's going to suck, and no matter I'm going to hate it.
Yeah.
I have personal friends who are both on both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I feel like I went in the middle, came out positive. You went in the middle, came out a little bit more negative.
Yeah, I did. But, you know, I mean, I'd watch it again, but I feel like, I don't know, like if you were to say, like, okay, let's go watch it again. Let's go to the theater and watch it again. I'd probably be like, no. Whereas if I really like a movie, I'd be like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
So I think I'm good with my 60%.
I'm good with my 75%.
All right.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks.
Yeah.
That is our review of Batman versus Superman. And, you know, tell us what you think. You know, tell us what you think of what we said.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing.
You can argue with us.
Yeah, you can argue with us. You can disagree with us. You can disagree with the girl. You can disagree with me. Or even
only with you.
Even better, you can agree with us. And so let us know on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/thenerdparty. You can go to, you can find me on Twitter @TheInsaneRobin and go to our website, thenerdparty.com. There you can find all of our shows. You can find Aggressive Negotiations, a Star Wars podcast. You can find The Senate Floor. And you can also see our blog. And coming this weekend, if you're hearing my voice, starting on Sunday, we're going to get 2 reviews on our blog post. One from John Mills and one from Matt Rushing. And boy, are they going to be different.
I was going to say, I think one hates it and one loves it, right?
Yes, yeah. Very much. One guess on who loves it. but I cannot wait to read these reviews.
Yeah.
And I hope that you guys like it too. So please go to thenerdparty.com, hit on blog, and there you can see it. Or you can go to our Facebook page, like I said. So thank you so much for listening. Remember, go to audibletrial.com/nerdnuptial, as well as write us a 5-star review, and we'll mention you on the podcast.
I love you.
I know.
For years and years, heating has meant boilers, and boilers have meant breakdowns. Over here, and over here. Anything but music to your ears. At Fisher Future Heat, we create state-of-the-art home heating systems that we fit, then you forget. With no annual servicing needed, and a huge 10-year guarantee. In short, we engineer common sense. Search Fisher Future Heat today. Fisher Future Heat. The future is electric.